just before it gets started, this is Memorial Day weekend. It's a time of remembering all of those that have passed on. We say a lot about our veterans, but we don't say enough. We talk about our families that have gone on, but we don't talk about them enough. We don't do a lot of things that we could and possibly should. I'm going to throw this in and I'm going to read the word. It's really sad when you pass a cemetery and you need a tractor and a mower to mow the grass down or the weeds down. And people will go in and they'll spruce it up and work just before Memorial Day, and you could rake up enough that you could start a hay field somewhere a lot of times. It's sad. I want to say it's sad that these things happen. But we have a tendency to put things off. But thank God for the people that work so hard keeping our cemeteries looking nice, decorating them and all this. It says a lot. And I thank God for that. So this morning, if you'll stand, I want to read, it's good to see Brother David and his sweet wife. He's always putting stuff on there that she cooks, but he has never, and I remember, invited me down for supper. I know what it is. They say there's no such thing as supper anymore. It's dinner. Well, at my house, if you come, it is supper. And it'll be supper right on. But David, good to see you all. Good to see these folks all the way from Pike County. Did y'all come down today? All right, yesterday. Well, still, I love Pike County. Pike County has a lot of memories for me. So let me read the Word of God. I want to talk to you about the broken become experts at mending. Now, think on this title just a minute, because I want to ask you some questions here just a little later. The broken become experts at mending. I want to bring these scriptures to you this morning. Very familiar, Luke chapter 5, beginning of verse number 27. And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of customs, and said unto him, "Follow me." And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house, and there was great company of publicans and of others that sat with them. But, like that little word, but their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, "Why does he eat with and drink with the publicans and sinners?" And Jesus overheard it, no doubt, and he said, answering, said unto them, "They that are whole need no physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Let's pray before you see it. Father in heaven, thank you this morning for this opportunity, Lord, just to expound on your word. I ask this morning, God, that you open up our ears of understanding and help me, Lord, to speak my words clearly. Lord, that everybody can hear and understand. Thank you again for those that are here. And we ask, God, that you bless each one of them. In Jesus' name, and everybody says,
amen.
Amen. Little summary I want to start out with. There's a world of people out there who are in various stages of brokenness, some a little and others a lot. Maybe for the first time in your life, hear this well, you can actually relate to them. They need someone who can cry with them, who can feel their pain. Can anybody just say amen?
Amen.
Well, let me give you a little humor, because this gets your mind off of what you're planning on doing and everything. a son was returning from the market with a crate of chickens his father had entrusted to him. When all of a sudden the box broke and it came open. The chickens ran in different directions, and the son chased all through the neighborhood grabbing the chickens and returning them to the repaired crate. The boy reluctantly returned home, expecting the worst. "Paul," he said, "the chickens got loose." The boy confessed sadly, "but I managed to find 12 of them." "Well, you did a good job, son," the farmer said. "You only started out with 7. I like to see you smile. Sometimes we can't smile, but I thank you for smiling this morning. God used broken people. Do you believe that? God often uses broken things as well. Broken people, broken things. We're living in a time of brokenness, folks. And God can use these broken things. Even since the fall of man, the world and its inhabitants have not been whole. Just as in Jeremiah 18, where Jeremiah observed the pastor, the potter, fashioned in the clay, and the vessels were mired in his hand. So our world is also mired. Anybody say me into that? But God, in his wisdom, is able to refashion it into a new vessel. And this is what we're looking to today, a new beginning. It's the genius of God to take the broken things and make them useful. Many times in the scripture, God used broken things. Can you say amen to that? The broken pitcher of Gideon and his men allowed to the torch to shine out, and the Midian's camp and all of this, and they saw the reflection on the water and they got scared and ran. And then there's a breaking fishnet of Peter. It convinced him that Christ was divine. And in the breaking of a little boy's fish and loaves, fed a multitude of people in Luke 9 and 16. And a box of spikenard anointed Jesus for his trip to the cross and to the tomb. A broken ship brought Paul to Rome, even though it broke up the ship, but no one was lost because an angel spoke to Paul and told him, "Hey, if they abide in the ship, none will be lost. They'll all be saved." Then there's broken things that are fixed. Strangers, stranger than ever, it seemed, but you can take something, and Sister Gordon keeps plenty of it, and that is super glue, because she knows I have a tendency to break a lot of things. So we keep a lot of super glue. You can glue back a plate or something most of the time, and it makes it even stronger at that place than ever before. You can take the PVC pipe and glue it together, and it welds it together so strong that it is stronger at the place where you put the glue on it and put it together than it would probably break somewhere else before it would break there. Excuse me. Then that happens at people when Jesus heals us. We're moved whole as Christians, rather. And then we've been put as lost people. Our worst day as being a Christian is better than 1 hour of being a sinner. Can anybody say amen? And a Christian heads from a crisis. And we've seen many crises here in the last sometime. I won't know how long, but it's long enough. I'm kind of tired of the crisis, aren't you? Know how to sympathize and counsel those that are going through crisis himself. Jesus will lead you out of the valley, so now you can lead others out of the same valley that you have just gone through. Here's the thing we need to think about, and the point is, your trials doesn't qualify you from service in the kingdom. Rather, it helps to qualify you, and you can understand better once you have gone through some of these things. People can tell you all about these, and they can tell you how to do it, but if they've never been broken, if they've never been hurt, if they've never been in a situation, they can't tell you from their heart. They just tell you maybe from their head knowledge or whatever. But I want to tell you, folks, I don't believe there's a person sitting here today that hasn't gone through some brokenness, some hurts and sorrows, and some times of devastation at times, but still yet, God is in control. So Jesus reaches out to the broken. There was a little man like Zacchaeus. All we hear about that, Zacchaeus, the little wee man and all that. The kids sing that little song about him. But what if Jesus had passed by him and hadn't noticed him? He would probably, until the day he died, he would have probably still been robbing people and still being a sinner. See, here's the thing about it we need to understand. But because Jesus spoke a word of kindness to him, he recognized that Zacchaeus as a valuable person. I'm going to tell you something, folks. There's not a person in here today that's not valuable to the Lord. There's not a person out there that is not valuable to the Lord. They're all valuable to the Lord, and we need to understand that, and God has given us ability to help these that are broken because we've been broken ourselves. If you've never been broken, just hang on, because it's coming your way sooner or later. You say, but Jesus will take care. I'm sure he'll take care. That's not the point. The point is that sometimes we're tried as by fire. We're tried by going through things we've never experienced before. Excuse me this morning. So now, think about this just a little bit. When Jesus met Levi in the scriptures that we read to you, Levi would have never thought Jesus would take any notice of him. But Jesus said simple two words, follow me. That was all that Jesus said. And he spoke volume to Levi because, hey, Jesus showed acceptance. And he looked beyond the exterior of Levi's heart. He looked on because, not just the outside, but he looked on the inside. And this is what Jesus is doing today, folks. He's looking beyond our exterior. He's looking at us from the inside. What a great God we serve. Isn't he wonderful? So touch that God. He's all about. He said, in other words, rise and follow me. But here's something else. Levi, the tax collector, people didn't like tax collector because they wanted to rob people. And tell you the truth, I believe it's some trying to rob us today. But anyway, that's another story. Because Matthew, the apostle, and Matthew, the evangelist, is what his name was changed to rather than Levi. Isn't that something? Levi, the old tax collector, the man that would get the stuff under the table, is saying, he now has a new name, and he is one that is doing the work. And hey, he even wrote the book of Matthew, no doubt, and he is apostle. And not only that, he was a great evangelist also. So we need to think about, then there's a sinful woman. I got to come out of this coat. My little grandchild used to say, I'm a fettin'. Phew, I could always work better without a coat. Think about this. The woman came to the Pharisee's house and stood behind Jesus' feet, weeping, and began to wash his feet with her tears and wiping them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment in Luke 7:38. Simon the Pharisee thought how badly of Jesus for allowing this woman who had a very sinful life, that Jesus would even allow her to touch his feet. Isn't it amazing how we say have some of these goody-two-shoes that they are always looking for something? They're looking for something that they can find fault in. But I'm telling you, she thought enough of Jesus that she came in behind. She was weeping. She was broken, brother. She was broken. She needed help. We need help. And this is what we're hoping to help today just a little bit, that you'll understand how important and valuable that you really are. But Jesus, with his holiness, was stronger than her sin and purified by contacting with him. She gained something. Don't ever be afraid to touch Jesus. Jesus told her, your sins are what? Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Isn't it amazing, folks, how sometimes sinners will come to the church and they'll leave more hurt than they did before they came in? It is time we wake up, church, and realize something that we understand better than anything else, because we've been there. We people have sinned. The Bible says we've all sinned, come short of the glory of God. We've all been in the same shape. We've all done things we shouldn't over the years. We've all been broken one way or another. We've hurt other people's feelings and all of this, and people's hurt our feelings, but we need to get back down to the nitty-gritty and understand who we are. We're just saved by the blood of Jesus. Saved because he made it possible by the shedding of his blood. We need to understand that, folks. But who can help a person that's out there broke, hurting, backslidden, or whatever better than somebody that's gone through the same thing? Somebody that's turned her back on God. Somebody that got hurt in the church because some pastor preached something and hurt their feelings. Or maybe somebody in the church hurt their feelings and they said, I'll never darken the door of church again. I'll never go back. Folks, we've all had our feelings hurt one time or another. It's time we suck it up and get out there on the field and start telling these people and showing them what we've gone through and how we're doing things today, bless God, and we're doing it because we know we're experienced. We're experienced, folks. Think about this. The thief on the cross. When Jesus was about to return to heaven, it was right that he should not go back alone. Who should accompany this Savior into his glory? Now think about this just a minute. Should it be some martyr or devout disciple or some great person? No. But Jesus chose a thief on the cross. Think about this. On the cross, to be his honor guard. Think about this. The thief prayed, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus answered, today. Hear me. He said, today ye shall be with me in paradise. Jesus is a friend of sinners. Jesus is a friend of every backslider, every person that's turned her back on God. Folks, if we as Christians, we as a body of Christ, we as being representative of the Ravenna Church of God and standing for the truth, we need to get on the field and we need to get out there and stop being afraid to talk to somebody, afraid somebody will see you. Well, I don't care who sees me,
Bless God, I think it's an honor that we can speak to somebody that's gone through some rough times and going through some rough times, but it's time that we just realize what we have gone through. What did Jesus forgive us of? He forgave us of a lot. Isn't it amazing? Two thieves, one on each side of Jesus. And the one, they were both guilty. We've been guilty of sins too. We should have been hung on the cross rather than Jesus. But he made it possible. But the one man, no doubt, he was probably laughing about it. Well, we deserve exactly what we got, but this man, they can't find no fault in him. So the thief realized that, hey, there's something about this guy. So remember me when you come into paradise. And Jesus just plain and told him, folks, isn't it something today? You shall be with me in paradise. Hey, it's wonderful and great what Jesus can do. So why is Jesus so receptive to people in sin? Why is he? You know, in the world, and even in the religious realm, if somebody messes up, hey, they want to stone them to death. They want to kill them. Hey, it's not our job to kill people. It's our job to help to restore people back into the kingdom of God. If you have family members that have turned their back on God, you have family members that hadn't been to church in a long time, and you know they're getting colder and colder all the time, getting lukewarm or whatever you want to call it, it's time that we try our best, folks, to encourage them to get back in the house of God where they can get help and support from the body of Christ. Amen. We need one another. You may say, I don't need you, you old white-headed man. No, but Jesus does. Jesus can use me as long as I'm still in this old world, and I thank God. What a great and a wonderful God we serve. Think about this. Don't think about Jesus didn't know about their sins. Jesus knew about it. He knows about our sin. He hates sin, folks, but he loves a sinner. Isn't that great? Because of his deep love for us. That's the kind of love Jesus has for us. He'd rather die than to live without us. Isn't that amazing? Did you ever realize how much love that Jesus has for you? He loves you. He thinks a lot of you. It bothers him. It hurts his heart when people just turn their back and walk away from him. And say, I don't need him anymore. This Jesus is supposed to come back so many years ago. He's delayed his coming. He has not delayed his coming. It is shorter than you might think. So we need to wake up, folks, and realize. He remembers the price he paid for us. Just look what he did. Hey, he shed his blood. There was tears, there was all kinds of agony, blood and death and all of this, that he made it all possible. And when he looks at a sinner, looks at a backslider, I'm sure that he probably thinks, I bought him. I paid the price for him. You know, when people are out there and they've murdered people and rapists and all kinds of stuff, and they try to change themselves from a woman to a man and a man from a woman and all of this, thinking they can get by with all of this. I want to tell you, folks, Jesus still loves that person. That one that has lost herself out here in the world and think they've been forgotten and nobody cares. It is time we understand Jesus cares and we best be caring too. He bought us with a price. But Jesus, isn't it amazing? It's wonderful. He will never, never, never forget us. He sees our saved people and he sees our potential. You know, many people sitting here today, you have never even scratched the surface of your ability and your potential to be one of the greatest warriors that has ever been before. You say, but I'm just a little weak person. They are weak, but I am strong. We're strong in the Lord, church. And we need to show how strong we are. We need to show people how much love we have for others. We need to show people and tell people, hey, I love you. I don't want to see you going down the wrong road. Hey, don't jump on people, fuss on them, and my goodness, it just bothers me so bad, and I'm sure it bothers Jesus when somebody will try to make somebody go to church, fuss on them, and carry on like this. We're not to fuss on them. We're not to try to beat on the sheep, but bless God, we're to love them in just like Jesus does us. People out there wandering around blind and can't see naturally. Why? Because they can't see where they're going. They've been covered with sin so bad. They've been pushed down and laughed at and all of this. And these people today that are trying to find peace somewhere in a bottle or in a pill or in a needle, shooting it in their arm or their leg or wherever they can shoot it and all this. They're trying to find something, folks, and they haven't found it yet. But can we show them the way? Can we show them the way? You say, well, I've never did this and I've never done that. And I've always been a good person. Well, bless God. I'm glad. If you're perfect, go let me shake your hand. But I want to tell you something. I'm going to pray for you because you're going to be lying. I know that didn't sound very nice. There's two women once, as the story goes, and they... It like it used to be. I know my mom, she'd patch her overalls and sometimes have a big red patch on the knee or the seat or whatever. Of course, the boys, they used to crawl around in the dirt and the rocks and all of this and had their knees wore out of their pants. It wasn't from praying. It was from playing in the dirt. But these two ladies were mending their husband's pants. One was mending the knees because her husband had been on his knees praying a lot. The other one was mending the seat of his pants because he'd been sitting so much he wore the seat of his pants out. Now, which one is doing the will of God? Well, some people says, well, God don't have anything for me to do. I can just sit here and I can enjoy the blessings of God and I don't have to do nothing. No, you don't have to do nothing. But does God want you to do something? I believe he does, don't you? Looking at the fallen. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Just because somebody has fallen, don't make you no better than they are. You might have grabbed a hold of a limb rather than fall over the cliff, but they fell over the cliff. So we need to understand about this. Hey, Moses is a great man of God. I tell you what, I love Moses, but I tell you, Moses had his hands full, did he not? But Moses was a great man, but yet there was a time in his life, number one, he ran from God. Number two, he murdered somebody. And number three was, he was on the backside of the desert for 40 years thinking he is hid from God. God had a job for him, but he is back there. He was satisfied just feeding his father-in-law's sheep. He was satisfied on the back of the desert. I want to tell you, folks, it's time we get off the back of the desert and get on the firing line and get up where God can use us. God knows where you at. If you out there somewhere and you've been so far back in there, you think, well, God don't even know where I'm at. He knows where you're at. He knew where Moses was, did he not? And then there's a man, I'm telling you what. His name is David. David fell in a trap. Now, you got to get this. The Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. He was a wise man, smart man, loved God. There's more prayers and asking for forgiveness and rejoicing and all that in his book of Psalms and all of this. But notice this, even though David fell into a trap, He entangled in lust. He had people murdered, or one man murdered, and shame. But notice right here, there was a prophet of God. I want to call him a preacher at this point, but the Bible calls him a prophet, Nathan. Here Nathan was. Nathan goes to him, and he talks to him about somebody having one little sheep, one little lamb. Now think about this. But what did Nathan do? I don't have time to go into all of it, but Nathan restored him in the spirit of meekness. David began to repent because the man of God brought it, which David already knew it. But we're always looking at somebody else has done something a lot worse than we have. Somebody else is a bigger sinner than we've ever been. We're looking at somebody out there. You're saying, they're scum of the earth. My goodness, you need your mouth smacked if you say something like that. We're all equal in the eyes of God. We all come from the dust of the earth anyway. How in the world can you be so much better than them? Whew. So David was restored back by Nathan. Nathan went to him and talked to him, and David repented. He cried, he wept, he fasted, and all of this. There is forgiveness, folks. A woman caught in the act of adultery. There was Mary Magdalene and the woman at the well and all of this. I'm telling you, praise God, they done a lot of horrible things, but still yet, Jesus died for them. And then there's Peter. I want to tell you something, folks. Peter was a very unusual man. He was bold. He was very outspoken. He would speak his peace before he would think it down in his heart or his mind. So Peter, who cursed, swore, denied Jesus three times. Oh, Lord. There was probably some unbelievers around said, oh, my goodness, old Reverend Peter the Rock. What a joke. You see, there's been a lot of pastors and preachers and things that's fell along the wayside. But you know what the church wants to do? They want to stone them to death. They want to stone them to death. One of our former general overseers was walking through where there'd been a lot of fallen ministers, and they'd taken their license and they had them in files in Cleveland, Tennessee. And he was walking through one day and just thinking how many of these pastors that could have been restored had the church had forgiveness. How many of these pastors could have been restored had the overseers and the councilmen and all of this had enough love to try to restore them? He said he began to weep. He began to cry. And he asked God to forgive him and our overseers and all of this for not forgiving these people and giving them another chance. You see, folks, the same God that we serve is the same God you serve. We're all equal in the eyes of God. But Peter became the spokesman at the day of Pentecost. And then there's John Mark. He became a turncoat and quit the ministry. I want to tell you something, Brother David, I quit the ministry on a whole lot of Mondays. I'd preach and study and pray and cry and all this and do my very best, and I felt like a total failure the day. The devil would say, look at you. Nobody's got saved. Nobody didn't get saved today. Look at you. You're a mess. You're a failure, and you're all of this. Well, he talked to me all through Sunday night, and on Monday, I'd just say, okay, I'm just going to quit. And then I'd think just a few minutes, I thought, why, you lying devil. I did the very best I could, and I planted some seeds out there, and it takes time for those seeds to germinate and come up. It takes time, and in some time we have to water those seeds a long time. So then I would repent, and I'd say, God, hear me, I'm sorry. Don't take the anointing away, God. Help me, Lord, to never do that again. And he's helped me, folks. Listen to me. We need to understand there's times we do feel like quitting. We do feel like a failure. We feel like just laying it down and giving it all up. For what? Jesus says salvation. There's none other way but Jesus. Man. Don't worry about the clock, Willie. I promise you I won't hold you but just a little while longer. But now if God does, you just have to talk it over with him. In a single moment, sometimes a man and woman fall because of what they see or hear or do and all of this. It's amazing. I want to give you this illustration. You've probably heard it before, possibly, and if you haven't, that's all right. No matter how bad you're broken, God still wants to use you. Doesn't he? There's a world of people out there who are in various stages of brokenness. Some a little, others a lot. But maybe for the first time in your life, you can actually relate to them. They need someone who can cry with them, who can feel their pain. As I told you, I preached a funeral yesterday. The mother lost her second child 7 years ago. Her son overdosed and was buried yesterday. Her daughter had overdosed, and she said, I don't have nothing left. That's all my children. Don't have anything to left. What did you do, Willie? I got down and I put my arms around her and I cried with her. She was broken. A lot of you may have lost children, husbands and wives and loved ones and all of this. And it's hard. But since you've gone through this, don't let the devil beat you down like you can't do nothing, you're a nobody. Take what you have gone through and use it to help someone else. Do you hear what I'm saying? Take the brokenness, take the hurt, and help use it for someone that's going through the same thing. It's amazing. If you're broken, then you're qualified to be God's representative to them who show them how to let God lead them back and get them back in the fold. You're just where God wants you. You know, today there's going to be many people walk by a tombstone and they're going to have some memories. And they're going to begin to cry. And they're going to feel the loneliness and hurt all over again. But folks, when you've lost someone dear to you, and you walk up to somebody at the casket and you don't know what to say, sometimes it's better off to not say anything. Just put your arm around them and say, I love you. And I'm praying for you. I hear so many Christians, even Christians, make the big mistake. Oh, I know just what you're going through. They don't need to hear that at that time. You may know or think you know what they're going through, but hey, it's no time. The timing is not right. Just put your arms around them and love them. Tell them how much Jesus loves them. Some of us need to start some support groups, maybe. Some people that's lost a spouse or a child or gone through a divorce or aborted a child or been sexually assaulted or lost it all through drugs and alcohol, or maybe even somebody's been through bankruptcy or they have cancer, etc. I want to tell you something, folks. It's amazing what we can do. if we just allow God to help us. You believe it?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. It is wonderful and great how good God is to us. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Let me give you this as they're coming to the music, please. Here's another illustration. A member of a church board, notice this, we caught him on the pastor's council, let's call it that, but a member of the board fell into sin. The pastor called the board together, and with compassion, he told them the sad story of the board member had fallen. Then he asked him a question. If you had been tempted as our brother was, what would you have done? What would you have done? Well, the first man, he was very confident in himself and his ability and withstanding temptation, said, I'm sure I would have neither given in to that sin. Several others made the same statement. Finally, the last member of the board, a man deeply respected, said, Pastor, I feel that if I had been tempted as he was, I would have probably fallen even lower. And there was a silence all through the meeting. Then the pastor said, you're the one I want to go with me to talk to this man and try to restore him back in the relationship of God, because he needs somebody that will forgive. You see, folks, this is the way we are. Sometimes we're out there and we feel so little and so nothing. You need somebody that has a tender heart. You see, the rest of these guys, they were so high and mighty and powerful in all of this. But I want to tell you something. This one guy had the pastor's back. He went with him to restore him back. We've got some people out in our church that need to be restored back. We've got some people that have turned the wrong direction. They've made some big mistakes, and they know they've made these mistakes. But we need to go to them in confidence. We need to go to them, not where we can talk about them, tell it all over the church. Oh, that bunch of sorry, low-down people, they used to serve God, but look at them out there now. That could be you. That could be me. What would we do? Would somebody come and restore us and help us, or would somebody come with an armload of stones and want to kill us? Don't ever kill anybody that's backslid on God. Hey, that might be the next Billy Graham. That might be the next no telling who. Let's stand, would you please? Who is better qualified to help restore somebody back than somebody that has gone through the similar or the same thing? Who is better? Whether you've gone through a divorce, whether you've gone through whatever it might be, it don't matter, whatever. Who's better qualified? Jesus walked through to Levi, and he didn't say, hey, Levi, get yourself lined out now. No, he just said, follow me. Levi dropped everything he had. This is what Jesus is doing today. He's calling you and me and say, follow me. See, he's the leader. He's the head. He's the one that we're trusting and believing. This altar's open today. And if you have been hurt, if you feel like that there's somebody out there that you hurt and you hadn't restored your relationship back to them or whatever it might be, maybe it's a family member that has hurt you real bad. I like something that I was listening to Praise Stone this week. I like something that he said a minister told him. He said, here's how I can get through some of these things because I have so much hate in my heart.
for this person that did me wrong. And he advised people that this is a great way to do it, and I have to agree. He said, write their name down. Go somewhere in private and dig a hole and bury that name. Don't ever go back and dig it up. Oh, he said, the thought will come back to you, but never go back and dig it up. This is the problem. We want to go back and dig up old broken bones and all their dead bones. We don't need to dig up dead bones. We just need to serve God. Help those people that are still alive.
Amen.
Hear me. Help them. They need you. The altar's open if you want to come and pray this morning. Listen, church, we've got work to do. There's no time to lay down, sit down, play around, play church or whatever. It's time we do our job.
Amen.
Jesus is looking for you to help restore people back. Use what you've gone through to help others. The altar's open. Will you come as they play and sing? Will you come?
Huh.